following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Geico presents a man who just saved on his motorcycle insurance.
What up? Evan here. Question. You like apples? I'll get to that in a minute. First, check out my motorcycle. Flames? Yep. Saddlebags? Yep. Room for two? Negatory! Sorry, ladies. I ride solo. Now, wait for it. How you like them apples? Aw, don't cry. Insuring this beast was crazy easy. Called Geico and boom, saved enough to buy a sidecar. Now, if you dry your tears, I might just let you ride in it.
Geico Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
Hey, you, in the DXL dressing room, you're more than just an average Joe in a new outfit. You are a magnificent man about town. Before you unleash fashions like Lucky, Lacoste, and Nautica, ask yourself, are you ready to look this good? Is the world ready? All the best men's brands, waist size 38 and up. DXL, you're looking good. Shop today for Harbor Bay PK polos, only $24.99 each when you buy two or more.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We have got a very full program for you today, and it includes football, our Loper Link with UNK head coach Daryl Morris as we talk about their final week of spring practice. We'll also be chatting with Riker Fife, Grand Island Zone, and Nebraska quarterback right now.
He looked good. He looked good in this spring game. What?
He's the best quarterback on the team. I'm just going to say it. It's going to stir the pot all summer long. And I, you know, oh, dude, you're always negative. No, I'm not. But I haven't seen it in Armstrong, okay? And nothing will change between now and the fall to change my opinion on that because we won't get to see him.
Well, certainly not before the first game. Yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to talk with Riker. We're also going to talk with the newest member of the WNBA from the Huskers, Jordan Hooper. And we'll also be talking with Mike Vecchione, former Tri-City Storm member, now a national champion with the Union Dutchman. Of New York. They won it all, and they did it in convincing fashion, thumping Minnesota, and they just really had not just a great final Frozen Four, but a great tournament with the Frozen Four, their semifinal, which was a heck of a game with Boston College, yep. And then the national championship game against Minnesota. I mean, you just don't usually see that kind of goal scoring in the Frozen Four.
And it was everybody. I mean, I think at one point they had seven different players scored a goal in the championship game. Seven! I mean, that is getting it done. Every single line, every single shift, they seem to win. And when he went to Union College, I had to look up where Union College was and thought to myself, well, I thought Vecchione was better than that. I thought he'd go to a program like a Minnesota or a Wisconsin or whatever. All he did was win himself a national championship. So that was outstanding. And the Dutchmen, they've really turned that into a great program. For a very, very small school. It's amazing how they've been able to have so much success.
And the NHL playoffs get underway tonight, so we'll get predictions. Hopefully get that squeezed in today as well. So we've got basketball, we've got hockey, we've got baseball, and of course we always have football. And every Wednesday it is our Loper Link, brought to you by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today at Charter West National Bank. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this Wednesday, and we're pleased to be joined by the head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, Daryl Morris. Coach, good morning.
Morning, guys.
How's it going? What are you still practicing for? Everybody's done.
Well, that's because they were in a hurry to get done. We're kind of wanting to take our time with this whole deal.
You work harder? Is that the deal?
Well, I think it is. I wonder if the chancellor listens to your show.
Yeah, that never hurts. That never hurts.
Does.
Well, let's catch up to where this football team is when you go into that final week, and you'll put them through the run here on Saturday. But you hope to have pretty much everything where you want it to be, is it?
Well, you know, I don't think it will be when it's all said and done. And because, and I think we've talked about this before, the recruiting that we've done, we have a good mixture, I think, of young kids in our program. And we've also got about a dozen junior college, four-year school transfer guys that will be here in May and then in the fall. So that we know that there are some of those kids who we have recruited because we feel like they can impact our team and change the demographics of our team, so to speak. So we're going to have to wait until we get those kids on campus and see if they are what we hope they are. But what we've been able to do is we've been able to get a lot of looks. For example, our backup kids had 30 snaps in a scrimmage this past Saturday. They'll get another 30 snaps or so this coming Saturday. So we're getting a great opportunity to evaluate and give kids full speed reps that are going to be beneficial to them and us as a staff to evaluate with.
Daryl, is there a unit that you've looked at so far this spring that has kind of raised your eyebrows? And
well, you know, I think the linebacker core, when you add already Tyke Cozell, but then you've got a guy like Devontae LaFleur, who is a Central Omaha kid. I mean, Devontae is extremely fast and has just football knowledge. I watched him make a play yesterday where he dropped his shoulder and got up underneath a tackle and continued to run up the field. So, you know, I think the linebacker core is really starting to come together with some athletic kids. You got Rod Theodore, who's another young linebacker from Florida. Rod shows the ability to be able to do those kinds of things. So, you know, I think that's a group that I think is actually coming around to being an MIAA-type caliber linebacking core that we'll have.
Talking with Daryl Morris, head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. We always want to find out if you made it through the spring injury-free. Have you?
We have not. I mean, Cody Wheeler, our starting center, is out for the rest of spring, as is his backup, Brett Douglas. Both of them started games for us last year. Nothing that's going to keep them out of games, we hope, next fall, but it did stop spring ball for them about a day apart after Cody Wheeler injured his knee and basically is going to be in a brace for about 8 weeks. The next day in a scrimmage, Brett Douglas hyperextended an elbow, so he's in an elbow brace for about 6 weeks. So, but other than Boone Anderson, a rupture in his Achilles, which might affect his ability to play in the fall, we haven't suffered anything that we believe will be a hindrance to us as we go into the summer months in the fall.
With the new guys coming in this fall, are you looking right now just kind of for depth, or are you really kind of still fine-tuning some guys who are going to be starters for you?
Well, I think we're doing both. You know, I mean, we do know that some of the kids that we're bringing in are going to be impact players, so we know we're going to have to be able to get them enough reps in the fall to get them ready to play the defending national champions game one, but we still need to get the kids that might end up being their backups enough reps also in case an injury occurs or, you know, things don't work out the way we had hoped with the guy we're bringing in. So we're still doing a lot of evaluation, and it's fun. I mean, these kids, they're enthusiastic because they're coming off redshirt years. You know, they're getting reps, they're getting coached, and they enjoy that. So it's been a fun spring for us in that respect.
We're talking with Loper football coach Daryl Morris here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Coach, will you go full-scale scrimmage on Saturday? Everybody's does it a little bit different.
Well, we will, but the guys that, you know, I always use Cole Manhart for an example, who starts at left tackle for us, and Pete Trausch and those guys, I'm pretty sure they can play. So
yeah.
their reps will be limited, and therefore we will get more reps of the younger kids will be in the scrimmage. So we're going to try to prevent injury the best we can while we still get those kids some full speed reps, but they're not going to get a lot of them. And then the rest of it's going to be an evaluation process continued as we give those young kids more and more reps of full speed action to see if they're coming along, they're developing, and do they really have what we hope and what we need them to have to be a contributor for us.
Quarterbacks and running backs are kind of rock stars of the football team. Where is the race for those positions right now?
Well, Bronson Marsh is still our starter, and Bronson's back throwing the football. He missed for the first half of spring with a sore shoulder, and we didn't let him throw. So, but he is back throwing the football, and I think every rep he gets, and Bronson might get more reps than perhaps Cole Manhart or Pete Trouchville next week, next Saturday, because we want Bronson to continue to develop his brain and see defenses and understand what he's looking at. So he's off limits, so the jeopardy of getting him injured is pretty slim. So he's our starter. We're bringing in a junior college transfer that'll be here in May, some high school kids also. So, but I think right now he's the slated starter. Running back, we still got RC, and we've got Caleb Lundgren, you know, who transferred from Chadron State as a Kearney kid. They're basically the two running backs we have in camp right now, and we'll also bring another guy in, transfer type guy, as we go through the summer months, and then the high school kids we've recruited. So I think the running back position is a little less solid than maybe the quarterback position might be.
Daryl Morris with us for another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You've touched on it a little bit, but how many of these new guys, transfers, JUCOs, do you expect that will be battling for actual starting positions this fall?
Well, I expect, you know, usually the prevailing idea and thought is that you don't bring in transfer guys unless they are capable of either starting for you or being an immediate backup guy for you. So we expect them to change the way our football team looks, even from at the end of spring and at the start of fall. Alan Sampson, who played in games at Hawaii, and Cody Saul, who's a first-team All-American junior college wide receiver, and Omar Rodriguez, who's an all-conference tight end, and Trayvon Freeman, who also was an all-conference wide receiver. So some of those kids, we expect to be able to come in and either play in the first game for us, where they end up starting, or they're a guy that just comes in on a different formation or personnel setting, they're going to play.
And Daryl, everybody, Division I, Division II, NAIA, they all have different rules, but I was talking with some of the fellows about when you get done on Saturday, it's a quick turnaround to get the kids finished and ready for finals week, but then you're going to want to know how the new kids are doing without being able to really coach them over the summer. Division II tries to find them where they can live, where they can work, what they can do. There's a lot more than just getting ready for football. I'm not sure everybody out there realizes what you got to do with these kids over the summer.
And that's true. We have spent a tremendous amount of man hours with the kids that are not here in Kearney yet, of trying to get places lined up for them to come in and rent an apartment, rent a house, you know, jump into this open room with those two guys that are already on the team that already have a house. And so that takes in. And then also trying to find them some employment over the summer is a task as well. So we spend a fair amount of time doing that because we do want them to get here as early in the summer as possible so they can get to know their teammates in the weight room and they can go through 7-on-7 captain drills and get some of that stuff done, begin to learn some terminology, begin to develop some timing with the quarterback if they're a receiver, for example, or a running back. So it's a big part of college football. The summer is huge for any college football program. You're going to win a lot of games in July that you're going to play in October. So we need a vast majority of our football team here in Kearney, working here, working out here, and getting to know each other and developing some camaraderie also, but never getting very far away from the playbook as well.
Well, they can come work here, but they ain't going to make any money.
Well, yeah, that's the way we haven't called you.
We're going to have you back in a couple of weeks to really talk about the banquet that's coming up and the annual football fundraisers banquet, but give us a little heads up on that.
Well, May 6th is our fifth annual Loper Football Backers Auction Fundraiser Banquet, and it's been a huge success for our program in terms of helping us raise scholarship money. So it's a silent auction, live auction dinner at the Unis Center on May 6th, starting at 5:30. Great time to get to know some folks and bring the wife out. Mother's Day's right around the corner. We got all kinds of things that she can't live another minute without. So come on out on the 6th of May. It's a fun night. Great meal at the Unis Center. If you've ever eaten, at the Unis Center, they do a tremendous job, and it's a lot of fun. And hopefully we'll raise some money for scholarships at UNK football.
And we'll talk about that in a couple weeks. Daryl, and I don't know a lot about this, and I don't know if you do either, but the athletic department, so I'll give you this onside kick, the Orthman Senior Student Athlete Recognition and Awards Banquet. I don't have a list of who that involves, but I know you got some smart kids on your team.
Well, basically, that's just an athletic department senior dinner for for all the kids that are finishing up their athletic careers, athletic department wide. So even though we've already had a senior banquet in football, you know, the kids that we still have in town, still in school, will be there, and I'll visit with the crowd about them, and so will Brady Bonzel, and so will Tom Kropp, and so will Damon Day. So it's just an opportunity for the athletic department to thank the kids who have been in our programs and are finishing up their careers here at UNK athletically and maybe graduating in May. So it's a nice evening for those kids and their parents, and just a way for the school to say thanks for everything they've done for us.
All right. Well, thanks for everything you do for us. Keep healthy the next couple of days, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks, Coach.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate
it. Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK, joining us here on our Loper Link. And again, you can go to the Orthman Senior Student Athlete Recognition Banquet. Go to lopers.com. It's next Tuesday for a registration form. Some other things to tell you about UNK tennis. They're now done for the regular season. The MIAA championships are next weekend in Springfield. The women swept Fort Hays State yesterday. UNK track and field team. They will be at the Doan Relays Friday and Saturday. Some are actually going out to California to Mount SAC. And, of course, the Kansas Relays, that's not just high school where Kearney High goes. And I think Lex might go and some others, but it's also college. And so that's going on this weekend. The Lopers coming off a very good weekend at Concordia. Of course, we talked with Damon Day yesterday about the baseball team. 3-1. They're on the road today, headed to Pittsburgh State. A four-game series is set to begin tomorrow. Softball team trying to stay busy as well after going 2-2 over the weekend. Their next action is Tuesday. They make up a home doubleheader with Shadron State.
A little different schedule with it being Easter weekend. You know,
yeah.
Things get moved around a little bit, and rightly so. It's one of those family, one of those things that you get your family together over the weekend. So a little bit different schedule for everybody.
And it's off for the volleyball. They will host their own tournament on the 26th here at UNK. And that is our Loper Link, brought to you by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons they have the loans, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans. And for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons they have the loans, Charter West National Bank. Mike Vecchione, Riker Fife, Jordan Hooper, all still to come on the Doug and Daddy Show.
People from all around are talking about how the new Refirm Now is changing their lives forever.
I lost 79 pounds. My energy has increased and I'm even more toned.
I believe this is the perfect product to give you the energy and motivation to lose weight. I actually cut my body fat in half.
Refirm Now is the biggest weight loss breakthrough in years. Helps with stress, more energy, fat burning, your appetite, and the best body toning ingredients.
I have never felt better. Just take the step and get to complete nutrition.
So, if you want the strongest fat burner to hit the market since ephedrine, you need Refirm Now. Found only at Complete Nutrition. If you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
From police officers to firefighters to storm chasers, even race car drivers, expert drivers choose Goodyear tires for superior performance.
On and off the road, Goodyear is consistently making improvements to deliver superior performance tires. Everything Goodyear has learned making tires inspires what they roll into yours. It's even the official tire of NASCAR.
Goodyear tires are chosen by those who use the world as their proving ground. So wherever the roads take you, choose Goodyear tires with superior traction and handling.
Visit Goodyear.com to find a great set of tires. Goodyear, more driven.
This is not a drill. The Spring Into a Honda sales event means great deals on the Honda CR-V, the most durable, longest-lasting crossover in its class, loaded with standard features like a rear-view camera. Because who wouldn't want eyes in the back of their head? Head over to the Spring Into a Honda sales event for 0.9% APR financing for well-qualified buyers.
Durability based on longevity. Longevity based on IHS Automotive, Polk U.S. Vehicles, and Operation Registration Statistics 1997 through 2012 for CR-V and competing models. See dealer for financing details.
For today, partial sunshine with high temperatures in the lower 60s. Winds turn to the northwest, becoming gusty at 15 to 30. Then partly to mostly cloudy skies tonight and 27. I'm meteorologist Michael Caro. Currently 54.
Doug and Daddy Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, offering their everyday low, hassle-free prices. And right now in the month of April, even though they continue to move cars, trucks, SUVs, whatever it is you want to drive, they have a full lot more new and pre-owned vehicles on lot than they have ever had, totaling over 500. You can see them in person. You can check it out online at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Thinkmidway.com or Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Any chance I get, Randy Bushcutter, to say Schenectady on the air, I'm going for it.
Now, here's the challenge. Spell it.
Schenectady.
Very good. Perfect.
From Kearney, Nebraska to Union College in New York, Schenectady, and now a national champion. And we are pleased to welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show former Storm forward and now national champ Mike Vecchione. Mike, congratulations. Thanks for the time.
Hey, thank you. Anytime.
I can't do cartwheels, but I did crash into the wall trying to do one after you scored.
Oh, that would have been an interesting sight.
About like me on skates. I mean, there's so many questions that we've got for you, but just in a quick turnaround, I mean, one day you're skating here at the Viero Events Center, and a year later you're winning a national championship. What about this ride that you guys have been on, maybe from a personal note here in this last year? What's it been like for you?
It's been pretty crazy. I mean, we started the year not so well. We were pretty injury-prone, and then once we started getting healthy, we were just rolling and went on a couple of good winning streaks, had a bump in the middle of the season. And then, you know, we just caught fire at the right time, and we were playing our best hockey, and it definitely showed in the Frozen Four there.
And again, in the Frozen Four, you guys were the David to everybody's Goliath. I mean, Minnesota has an enrollment of 48,000. You guys have an enrollment of 2,200. They offer, you know, the full allotment of scholarships. No athletic scholarships at all at Union College. Just the David versus Goliath thing, are you tired of hearing about that? Or is that really kind of emphasize this tremendous achievement you guys had at Union College?
Yeah, we're getting a little tired of hearing that. I mean, when you think of enrollment and the scholarship thing, I guess you can say that. But we felt we were the better team all year. We felt like we were the best team in the country, and we played that way. We weren't afraid to go up against the top guys. Obviously, going into the national championship, you're going to have to go through the top teams in the country. And we were just ready for it. We didn't think we were any sort of David, and any team was so great that we couldn't be able to beat them. We just felt that throughout the whole year that we're the best team, and we set our goals pretty high at the beginning of the year, and national championship was obviously the biggest one, and we've pretty much accomplished all our goals this year. And that whole David and Goliath thing, it's a pretty good storyline, but for the players and coaches, we didn't feel that way at all.
We're talking with former Storm forward and now national champion of the Union Dutchman NCAA hockey, Mike Vecchione. For those that don't realize it, and I'll be honest, I didn't realize it until we were deep into the tournament, the Union Dutchman finished the season. They didn't get beat since January 31st. They were 16-0-1 in their last 17 games. Mike, when did the team feel that you had finally turned the corner and started to click? Was there a game? Was there a moment you said, hey, we've got this figured out?
Like I said, I think it was just throughout the whole year. We started off the season pretty banged up, and we went on a 10-game run right before Christmas break. And then coming back, we had a little growing pains. But then in January, we just started clicking. I think definitely having everybody healthy was pretty huge, obviously. And I think the biggest thing was we just found lines that clicked, and we kind of stuck with them throughout the year. And when I started playing with Ty Champini, Novak was playing with Sullivan and Hatch, everyone just seemed to click with their lines, and we were getting production from all lines, and we were pretty deep. So I feel like just throughout the whole season, it was just a matter of finding the right matches and getting everybody healthy. But like I said before, we knew we could be a great team from right from the start of the season, and it was just an amazing feeling to fulfill everyone's goals there.
Well, obviously, Storm fans had a lot to root for in the Final Four and really probably got the matchup they wanted, you against Minnesota. Did you have a chance to, before you scored on him, of course, did you have a chance to have a conversation with your former teammate before, during, or after the game?
I didn't get to see him until the handshake, and obviously he was pretty upset. But I just told him he's a great goaltender, and he had an amazing year, and the team they have in Minnesota and him backbone on that team, I won't be surprised if they're there the next couple of years. He's just a great kid and a great teammate for me in Tri-City, and we learned a lot from him coming from Green Bay and being a championship team there. So he brought a lot to Tri-City during my first year, and I just learned a lot from that guy. And like I said, I just told him great job this season, and I wish you the best of luck, but didn't really get to tell him much more than that.
We're talking with Mike Vecchione for another moment here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Have you stayed in touch, or how many of your other former teammates or coaches have been texting you up or calling you here in the last few days?
Oh, I'm pretty close with most of the guys that I spend my time with out there. A lot of them play in the ECAC, and those who don't, they send me texts. I talk to them pretty much on a regular basis, and I'm always talking to the coaches, and they're like a second family. Those 2 years out in Tri-City were just a couple of great years that I'm never going to forget, and the people I met there are going to be engraved in me for the rest of my life. And I talk to most of the people out in Kearney. They're like family to me, and it was pretty cool to get bunch of calls and texts from all of them, and catching up with those who I haven't talked to in a while. But for the most part, I definitely keep in touch with as many people as I can out there, and it was just great to hear from all of them, and it was just unbelievable to see how many reached out to me.
Well, obviously, Mike, a lot of people will reach out to you with that, and nothing like winning a championship. Is there a moment, is there kind of a story that you can kind of relate to us where you just kind of realize, wow, that just happened. We just did that.
There's nothing I can compare to it, really. I think when Bodie put the finishing touches with that open net goal, that's when I kind of went into shock and kind of blacked out a little bit. It really is something that you can't even put into words. You just have to experience it. And it's just, like, so hard to even explain, because it was just so loud, so chaotic. Guys are yelling, you're hugging everybody, you see guys crying, and it was just, like, the greatest experience of my life so far, and I'm so glad I got to experience it with this group of guys. They were just a special group, and I think we definitely deserved it.
Michael, I guess we haven't specifically asked you just about your personal season as a whole. Did you like the way that your season and your first year developed along? And I guess just kind of take that on, what's next for you after you answer that part of the question.
Yeah, I was very happy with how my season went. It took me a little while to get going in the beginning, and then I was finding the groove. I played center this year. As you guys might have known, I was playing the wing out in Tri-City for 2 years, and it was a little bit of an adjustment period for me, but I finally got the hang of it midway through the season and was getting some good point production for the guys. And then over Christmas break, I was battling mono, and I was out for about a month, but only missed 2 weeks of training out here and 2 weeks of games. So once I got healthy, I was back in the lineup, and that's when I started rolling. And I got up to the first line playing with Karin Champini, and like I said, we started clicking and having a really good chemistry, scoring goals, and it was just a lot of fun. And it was pretty amazing the journey I had throughout the season, just trying to make the depth chart, and then being out for a couple weeks, and then battling all the way back up to the top line there. And I couldn't be more happy with the way the season turned out and the guys I got to play with.
Well, where do you go from here? I mean, take a look. Just give us kind of a prognostication of what the Dutchmen are going to be like this next season.
We just had our star defenseman Shane Gostisbehere sign, so that's going to be a tough spot to fill. And all five of the seniors were pretty, pretty big impact players for us. So, with the guys we have, I still think we're going to be great. Our coaches do a great job of recruiting guys. We have eight freshmen in our class, so only four or five of us were playing. So the other three will be able to step in after a year as they had this year. And our junior class was extremely good. You got Champagne scoring 20 goals and Colin Stevens, the backbone of our team. So I think we'll be fine. You know, I'm not too familiar with the incoming freshmen we have for next season, so it's hard to put expectations on it. So we'll just wait and see till training camp next year and pretty much go for there. But, you know, this program's been on the rise, and the guys that have been here have been unbelievable at building the program up. And I think my class just we kind of got a great taste of that tradition this year with all the championships we've won this year and how hard we have to work to make it back to that spot. We're just going to have to do the same thing next year and just be really hardworking guys. We don't have draft picks on our team, so it just comes down to us being a hardworking team and just keeping the Union College tradition what it is right now, being just a tough team to play against. And, like I said, I think we'll be a pretty solid team next year, but you know, it's gonna be a lot more difficult to repeat what we did this year.
Michael Vecchione, national champion. The parade is tomorrow. Can you, before we let you out of here, can you give us a sense? None of us, at least I haven't been to Schenectady. What's it been feeling like there on campus since you guys got back? And what do you guys? Is it going to be a huge party tomorrow, or is it just a small community and you guys will know everybody along the parade route?
Yeah, that's a good question. But we came back Sunday. The whole school was at the rink waiting for us, and they were greeting us off the bus and. It was pretty special, and then they threw us a big party. So that was pretty hard to replicate on Thursday with all the classes going on. But I think we'll take a short trip around Schenectady. We have a pretty main road to go through, and I know a bunch of the students will obviously be there, and we'll have like that whole ceremony thing and press conference, and then get on the buses or whatever we're taking to go around town. But this community really supports us pretty well, and I think there'll be a pretty good turnout from everybody around here. So I'm excited to see what it's like, and I'm definitely going to take some videos of it and remember it for a while.
Well, Mike, hey, congratulations. I know a lot of people in Central Nebraska are really, really excited for you, and congratulations to you and the Dutchman on winning the national title. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, guys. Anytime. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Here on the Doug and Daddy Show, national champion Mike Vecchione. Great to say that. Pleased to have him join us on today's Doug and Daddy Show.
You know, hockey is one of those sports that's just a little bit different than the other ones because, you know, your top five for the Miami Heat, they're going to do most of the damage. Well, in hockey, you've got to have a second, a third, a fourth line. And what was truly amazing about the Dutchmen was they won every shift. Every lineup that was out there battled, and it wasn't just try to hold on. They were all offensive. Again, seven different players scored in the national championship game. That boggles the mind. You know, it's like he had seven different quarterbacks that threw a touchdown pass for you in a football game. It's very much like that.
Huskers are close to that. Riker Fife, Jordan Hooper going to join us. And if you're getting tired of the same old lunch routine, forget the ordinary leftovers and head on out to Cunningham's Journal, the place to be for great food, live entertainment, and, of course, all your favorite sports, whether it's the NHL playoffs getting underway tonight, whether it's the NBA final night of the regular season, or just watching some Husker baseball as we did last night. Cunningham's is the place to be. You can enjoy your favorite burgers, sandwiches, pizza, salads, appetizers, and of course the coldest draft beer in town. What is today? Oh, it's Wednesday.
Wednesday. Wing Wednesday, baby. Wing Wednesday.
Delicious wings, $5. Thursday, it's beer and a pub burger for $6.49. They've got a special every single day of the week because you're hungry. every single day of
the week. So it works out really well.
Stop in for happy hour, 3 to 6. Big-ass beers are only 3.5, and well drinks, $1.50. You can dig that out of your couch cushion and be ready to have fun. And, of course, live entertainment every weekend at Cunningham's Journal, The Loft, and Courtyard in downtown Kearney. Jordan Hooper, Riker 5, when we come back.
Improve fuel economy and restore power with Royal Purple Max Clean Fuel System Cleaner on sale for $9.99 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Clean clogged injectors, save gas, and maximize engine performance. Pick up Royal Purple Max Clean for $9.99 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Maybe you shave with 7 microblades. Maybe you use an antique barber's razor, or you got a thing for your girlfriend's pink shower razor. Regardless, it's not just about the blade. The shaving gel really matters. Nivea Men Sensitive Shaving Gel is formulated with Skin Guard technology to provide a close and comfortable shave. Choose Nivea Men Sensitive Shaving Gel. The shaving gel really matters. And for a perfect finish, use Nivea Men Sensitive Post Shave Balm. Nivea Men. It starts with...
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, partial sunshine with high temperatures in the lower 60s. Winds turn to the northwest, becoming gusty at 15 to 30. Then partly to mostly cloudy skies tonight and 27. I'm meteorologist Michael Caro. Currently 54.
It's just a high maintenance woman, don't want no maintenance man.
Dr. Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Don't forget this Saturday, it's Golf USA's Demo Days out at Meadowlark Hills from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. with your favorite brand name golfing equipment. If you're looking to get some new clubs, a new driver, maybe you're just looking for some accessories from TaylorMade, Callaway, Nike, Ping, Titleist, Adams, Mizuno, Cobra, and so much more, you can test them out and talk to the professionals from Golf USA at Demo Days, Meadowlark Hills, this Saturday from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. You know, they have some nice golf courses down in Oklahoma, Randy.
They do.
I actually got to lose some golf balls down there before.
Did you hit any of that red clay? Because there's a little bit of red clay down there,
yeah,
too.
That was fun. That was fun.
Different.
It was about this time of the year, so the everything hadn't quite grown in yet.
So you still get to see the green growing over the... It's like Christmas. You got a little green growing over the red dirt.
It's like watching Jordan Hooper grow with the Tulsa
Shot.
Ah,
very nice.
What do you think like that? Congratulations. Jordan Hooper seems like she's been a weekly guest on the Doug and Daddy Show the last couple of months, but that's great for us. Jordan, Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter here with you. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
This is has been kind of a whirlwind for you. Did a lot of the prognostications I saw kind of thought maybe this is the exact spot that you would go. Were you surprised at all?
I wasn't really surprised, I guess, by where I went, I guess, but I was surprised once I saw my name up there, and it was for real then. So that was surprising, just kind of seeing my name and seeing Tulsa and everything all pop up. And it was a fun experience at the same time, just seeing everything kind of happen and stuff like that. But yeah, my agent had told me, maybe early second round, maybe middle second round. So, I had an idea, I guess, but I guess I wasn't expecting it to to be like that. So,
Jordan, you grew up with the WNBA being in existence. I mean, you're kind of that generation of people that yeah, if we would have talked to Nicole Kubik 14 years ago, she would have never dreamed about it because the league wasn't around. When did you kind of start having that dream of being a professional basketball player?
I think I started having the dream probably 7th or 8th grade when I got into playing, I guess, more competitively and stuff like that. So that's probably when the dream started to form.
But did you just uttered the phrase a little bit ago, my agent. Did you really honestly think at some point you were going to say my agent?
No, not at all. I mean, I always thought agents were like for football and baseball and stuff like that. And I never thought I would have one, but she's great. She's already done so much for me, and it's only been like 2 weeks of stuff. So, but no, I never imagined ever having an agent and like stuff like that. So it's crazy to see how far I've come.
We're talking with Jordan Hooper, one of the new members of the Tulsa Shock. Jordan, I don't know that all the general sports fans understand. I mean, they expect that when you get drafted, heck, you're on the team, no problem. You go to training camp, you're going to be playing basketball. It's also still, even though you're a second-round pick, you know, Odyssey and the other girls that they selected, you guys all have to work just to make this roster. Can you take us through that a little bit?
Yeah, just because you get drafted, you're not guaranteed a spot on the team, not guaranteed a spot on the roster, anything like that. You're just guaranteed a spot in training camp, pretty much, which is, I guess, I'm not sure the exact time frame of it, but it starts the 27th of April, and I'm pretty sure it's either a week or 2 weeks of either 2 days or just one a day, like just practice pretty much, and you have to come in and just pretty much show what you have and show off your abilities and stuff like that. And you're competing for that spot. You haven't made it yet. You're just one other person that they may or may not take. And so you're competing for that spot. And so that's where I'm at right now is just kind of staying in shape and getting prepared for that. And I know it's going to be challenging because everybody's good at this level and everybody has the same abilities as Jordan Hooper. So I have to go in there and just work really, really hard and just kind of show off what I can do.
You kind of led me, Jordan, into what I was kind of thinking. You went from being really kind of the cornerstone of a very successful Nebraska team to now you might have to learn a new role. How do you kind of make that happen?
Yeah, I think it'll be kind of like the USA thing. I'll just have to kind of, I guess, wait my turn until I'm needed, stuff like that. That's if I make the team. I definitely have to make the team first. But like I said, everybody is the exact same skill level at this, and that's how you need to rise above that, and that's how you show yourself off, I guess, is kind of getting above that skill level and stuff like that. So that's, yeah, you go from being, I guess, counted on in every single play here and there, and then you kind of go to, well, we don't really care if you're here or not. You just need to play hard, I guess, and stuff like that. So, but it'll be a good transition. I'm excited for it, and I'm excited to kind of to get the opportunity to show what I have.
The Jordan Hooper media tour continuing here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, answering a ton of questions. I know more of the Nebraska media will get to talk to Jordan later today down there. Who are some of the players? I look at the roster, and I'm familiar, actually, even if you're just kind of a general women's basketball fan, you're going to recognize quite a few names on this Tulsa roster. Who are you going to be competing against? I'm sure you've already looked. Who are some of the gals that you're going to be working against to try to make this roster?
Well, I mean, I'm not 100% sure, with all the trading and everything, but, I mean, Teresa Plaisance, who just got drafted in the third round, I'll probably be competing against her. And I'm not for sure where they're going to have me competing. They might have me in the fours. They might have me in the threes. So, I mean, I also don't know about that. So I could be competing with anybody, I guess, on that roster, except for the point guards, of course, because that wouldn't be smart of them. But yeah, so any of them really, for everybody. I'm just competing against everybody, I guess.
Well, and some of the players, obviously, that we're familiar with, Odyssey Sims from Baylor, Skylar Diggins from Notre Dame, Courtney Paris back from the Big 12 days in Oklahoma, Angel Goodrich, who played her basketball at Kansas, and then Nebraska's been fortunate enough here with Kelsey and Lindsay and some of the gals recently that are drafted into the WNBA. Jordan, how much have you talked with them? How much have you already maybe learned from them as you prepare for camp?
Well, yeah, Lindsay and I pretty much still talk every single day, and I ask her questions about everything every single day, about random things, about the WNBA, about pretty much anything. So yeah, I've definitely been using her as a resource, and it's huge to have her have somebody, I guess, not just her, but have somebody go first and kind of do really well, and also just kind of give you the feedback that you want and that you need and stuff like that, and just kind of give you reassurance every here and then, and then stuff like that. So it's been huge to have her be a resource for me.
How cool. I want to finish up here with Jordan Hooper over the last minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show, just to put the finishing touches on your Nebraska career. First, I want to commend you, because even at this age, I don't think I could have kept it together like you did after the BYU game. Have you put that in the past? And did BYU playing well against Connecticut, maybe about as well as anybody did in the tournament, did that kind of soften a little bit of what happened against them?
Yeah, I've moved past that, really. We just didn't play very well that game. We had a very slow start. We went three possessions where we should have scored or done something productive, and we completely blew that. And so yeah, I mean, that stuff still kind of gets me. But at the same time, I know that BYU was the better team that day. They shot really well. They played really well. They had a really good game plan, stuff like that. So, I mean, I've kind of put that behind me and just kind of moved on. And just kind of accepted it, I guess. And, yeah, and having them play so well against Connecticut, yeah, like you said, they played probably the best against Connecticut out of everybody in the tournament. So that does kind of soften it, kind of, I guess, proves that, see, they should have been there and they did a great job, stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I've kind of moved past that. It still kind of hurts to think about it, I guess. But at the same time, everybody, I think, has moved on, including me.
So, in other words, thanks for bringing that up, Doug. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I was pained just as much as every other Husker fan. But I guess the silver lining is, Jordan, you know, everybody else is back, and they all respected you and talked about how much you have taught them. So if that's all true, these girls are going to be pretty darn good next year.
Oh, yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I would watch out for Nebraska next year. And I think our freshman class coming in is going to be great. So I just hope they just keep improving this summer and get better and just keep working. Because that's kind of the only thing that could hold them back, is if they just kind of take a summer off or take a time off here or take time off there. That's, I think, the only thing that would really hurt them. I think they're going to be just fine because, yeah, pretty much everybody's back. All they lost was me, and everybody else is back, and we get a ton of new great freshmen. So, yeah, I'm really excited about next year.
I had to chuckle when I saw, and Matt Coatney was the person that I saw it from. It is actually about 10 miles closer from Lincoln to Tulsa than it is from Lincoln to Alliance. Did you chuckle? Did you chuckle?
Yep.
When you heard that?
Yep. And then it's about a zillion miles away from Alliance, but that's okay. It's still closer. It's still closer than anywhere else from Alliance. So,
well,
pretty happy about that.
Well, Jordan, we always appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and hopefully next time we chat with you, you're having a very successful career in the WNBA. So best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Jordan Hooper here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Dudorandy Bushcutter with you on ESPN Radio. Off to the WNBA. She'll get a chance to play against Lindsey Moore if that all works out, the second game of the season. They open the season with San Antonio May 17th, and then they will play their second regular season game against Minnesota on May the 23rd in Tulsa.
And she's led so well at the University of Nebraska. She's provided such great leadership that if the success that she predicts for the women's basketball team next year does come true, her fingerprints are going to be all over that. I mean, she is she's leaving this store in pretty good shape because she's been able to establish what leadership can do for a program.
Well, let's just keep rolling on, because here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, we've had a chance, and we want to thank Seamus and the gang down at the University of Nebraska for setting up a variety of interviews. We talked with Tyson Brockmeyer yesterday. We're going to talk with Jack Gangwish tomorrow. We've talked with Mr. Stirrup. Got a chance to talk to Riker Fife, and he joins us now here on the Doug and Daddy Show in that free-for-all with the media after the spring game. And Riker handled that, as always, very well, and we welcome him here to the Doug and Daddy Show. Riker, thanks for the time. I ask everybody this. Are we keeping you out of class, hopefully?
Yeah. I'm actually doing a job shadow right now, so I got out of that, so thank you.
Who are you shadowing? What's the shadow today?
Just a friend. She's an athletic director at Lincoln East, so.
Oh, cool.
I've been doing that for about 4 hours, and I got kind of bored, so.
I hope this is just a scotch higher in the non-boredom rank. I want to ask you, Riker, because I asked you after the game when me and Bob were sitting there talking to you, and I asked you what the difference is between you and Tommy outside of him having the starting experience last year? Because to me, I've got some things where I've checked off. I think that you're a little bit better. Obviously, there's a few things that Tommy is. What sets you apart just in that role if we want to compare you and Tommy right now?
I would say just he's been a leader probably since he's a freshman, you know. He's always had kind of expectations. I kind of just came out of nowhere, I think, this spring, you know. Probably just – I probably surprised a few guys on the team, but otherwise – I mean, he had that number one spot given to him this spring. I just kind of had to prove myself and had to work hard. And that's why in the spring game, I just knew I had to go out and just try and prove myself like that.
Riker, do you feel you did that? You went 9-12 in the air, 89 yards passing, touchdown, no interceptions, also ran for 44 yards. Do you feel like now you're in a position where you can seriously compete for the starting job?
Yeah, I mean, that's my goal, I thought. I took good advantage of it during the spring game, and that's just my goal, you know, get the play and just keep competing. That's all I can really do.
We're talking with Riker Fife here on the Doug and Daddy Show. There's been some contention about how good the offensive line is going to be for Nebraska this year. Pretty solid, of course, with Amir and a great running game. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're seeing from the offensive line?
I think we're really solid this year. Especially we added in Alex Lewis from Colorado. He's a good player. He's really good left tackle for us. And center spot's still in question. We got Mark Pelini, and Ryan Reeves has been hurt. But, I mean, that battle's up for our job's kind of a battle. But otherwise, I think we're solid across the board with Stirrup. And obviously, Jay Collin has the most experience. And I'm forgetting somebody else, but like Mike Mowdy, he'll be back in the rotation. But yeah, I think they're really solid. They're a good group of line.
Riker, obviously between now and the fall, there'll be a lot of individual things that you'll have the opportunity to work on. What are some specific skill sets that you're going to really concentrate on here in the off season before they open up fall camp?
Really, I just got to work on getting bigger. Just not only getting bigger, but faster too. And footwork, too, at the quarterback spot. That's really important. But, yeah, my main goal is just put on some size, but definitely keep my speed high, too.
We're talking with Riker Fife here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Grand Island quarterback, now obviously working for significant playing time with the Huskers. Did you learn, I mean, because you've got all five of you that are battling for, obviously, as much playing time as you can get. How much did you learn from Taylor Martinez or any of the other quarterbacks, Ron Kellogg, since you have been? And is there anything specific that you can share with us that they really have taught you?
Yeah, that's the thing is I came in and Taylor, he really helped me right away, just understand things, just kind of knowing how to lead and just what how to like look at blitzes and how to really just watch film. And same with Kellogg, you know, he's really smart. He might not have been the most athletic guy, but he knew the game really well, and that's something I really had to work on when I came here to Nebraska, is not just going out and playing football, but understanding what the defense is going to do, like understanding scheme. So they both really helped me in that area, just watching film together. And, I mean, we didn't watch film with coaches. They took charge of leaders, and they really helped me and all those young quarterbacks do that.
Riker, you've talked a lot about being a leader and that sort of thing. Being kind of looked at, whether it's true or not, but being looked at as the starting quarterback comes with almost an automatic leadership role. You're trying to take that away. How do you kind of establish your leadership in such a way without undermining the guy that currently has that role? Is there a way to do that?
Yeah, that's a good question. All you can do is just, as long as your teammates see you working hard and you're putting in the time, I mean, quarterback spot, they're all going to look up to you. And you just got to bring energy, I think, every day. And that's all I can do every day at practice. That's what Coach Beck tells us to do, is bring energy, get them going. And, I mean, that's how you earn your respect. And obviously, like, Taylor might not have been the most vocal guy last year, but I think he earned his respect on the field playing. And that's really important, too.
Just another couple minutes here with Riker Fife on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Well, we all want to know about Tommy. What about the other three guys, Johnny and Zach and Tyson? What can you tell us what you've seen from them?
I have to say, Johnny, he played a good spring game. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, he's got his strengths too. He's a big, he's a physical runner. He picked up on the offense pretty quick here. I mean, one of the advantages is that he was in the quarterback room his first year where I was on the scout team. So I wasn't really learning the offense. So, I mean, me and him learned the offense probably about the same time, really. But then Zach coming out of high school, he should still be in high school, I guess, but he's done a really good job. I mean, he learned the offense within weeks, and he's really impressed me on how much he knows. I mean, he just got to understand, like, the physical part, just, like, footwork and stuff. But otherwise, yeah, Johnny, he's really developed in Tyson. He's always been solid. But, yeah, I think that's – we all got our strengths, and so that's what makes us a good group of quarterbacks, I think.
All the news people, Riker, want to ask sports guys questions about the unionization and all the rules and all things like that. I want to ask you, because it just came out today that the big bad NCAA says, you know what? All the athletes can eat as much as they want now. I mean, is that a problem? Is that a problem for you guys? I mean, if the training table's open, you got to be there. Otherwise, you're on your own. I mean, can you explain to the fans what that's like?
Yeah, that's huge, especially for a walk-on like me. I mean, I try to get a training table as much as I can, but I mean, it's $10 every time I go to the training table. So, I mean, sometimes I'll just go and get like a $6 Subway sandwich, and now I can just go eat the training table for free. I mean, they got anything you want to eat there. So, I mean, that's huge, especially for me. I mean, the scholarship guys already have it paid for, but I mean, like walk-ons, that's a big deal.
And you mentioned Saturday. You mentioned a couple of times that you're really working for the scholarship. Have the coaches given you any indication? Usually before fall ball, that's when we find out, before fall semester. Are you confident, scared, worried, nervous? Do you think you're going to grab a scholarship this fall?
I don't know about before fall, but after the season, I feel like I could be in those group of guys that earn a scholarship. I'm really hoping so. I mean, that'd be a big accomplishment for me going to college here and walking on Nebraska. So, I mean, yeah, that's one of my goals.
Monty would like that too. Less checks. You know, less checks going down.
That'd make him happy.
You're worried about a $6 Subway. He's writing a much bigger check.
Riker, what's the summer? What's your summer plan? We just talked with Coach Morris here at UNK, who obviously would have loved to had you. And I think it's great that you've got a shot there in Lincoln. But what it's different rules for what Division I kids can do. What are you going to be doing over the summer?
Summer, just mainly we got running in the morning, then lifting in the afternoon. I mean, we'll do some just like 7-on-7 stuff and conditioning after our lifting in the afternoon. But otherwise, I mean, we get our weekends off, and summer's not as bad, like as time-consuming compared to any other times of the year. So I like the summer. And then obviously we get May off, and that's where I really do a lot of the training, just getting faster and stronger. So that's basically what our summers look like.
Well, Riker, I don't know what we're going to talk to Jack Gangwish on the show tomorrow, and I don't know if you guys hang out at all, offense, defense, but I am going to ask him about doing the muscle flex in the spring game after getting the sack on the green-shirted quarterback. Has anybody given him grief about that?
Yeah, I don't know what he's thinking, really, but I mean, it was good. He played well. I mean, he had 8 tackles, I think. I mean, he's got to be one of the more improved players on the team. Well, and, I mean, as a walk-on, he's trying to earn his spot, too. So, I mean, he's doing a great job.
Well, it sounds like everything's going forward. I know just by hearing from a variety of players, whether they're 5-stars or whether they're walk-ons, they respect what you are doing down there. And so we're going to keep pulling for you. Keep up the great work. Work hard, and we'll talk to you again when fall ball rolls around.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks, Riker.
Good luck, Riker.
He's back to a shadowing now at Lincoln East.
Yeah, finding out what athletic directors do at Lincoln East. There you go.
There you go. Well, nothing wrong with that. Riker 5.
Good career path.
He's just a good kid.
He is.
A good man now, when you move on to that college thing. So hopefully things work out for Riker. Also, while we were chatting there, Husker Online has confirmed that Nebraska has picked up their first wide receiver commit of the class of 2015. It's their number 10 overall commit. Oaklawn, Illinois, Richards High School, Spencer Tears, 6'3", 180-pounder, was in town for the spring game this weekend. Number 7 player in the state of Illinois, 42nd overall wide receiver in the nation, had offers from Indiana, Purdue. I know that's not going to shake the tree around here, but a wide receiver commit for the Huskers.
And you know what? Coach Pelini, with the stuff he's doing with Twitter and doing the Harlem Shake a year ago and bringing the cat out and things like that – you know, a lot of old geezers like us might sit there and go, that's just kind of crazy to do that sort of thing. I think he's really making a connection with the young people that he's trying to recruit. I think he's really doing a great job of recruiting. I mean, the recruiting class for this year is seen as one of the better ones that Nebraska's had in quite some time. And again, we're already starting the next class, and that's not a bad signing. I mean, again, it's not going to shake the trees, like you said, but I think it's definitely recruiting-wise heading in the right direction at Nebraska.
Our Husker Update's brought to you by T&L Irrigation Systems. Contact your local T&L dealer or go online to TLIRR.com to find out the very latest from the TLPPC-3. It is the new point precision point control 3 with GPS. Maybe you want to see some of their other pivot control management systems as well. It's right there for you, and your local T&L dealer takes care of you, or you can find out on your own if you would prefer going online. T&L Irrigation Systems, proven technology that works easier on you for a lifetime. And we'll be back with more after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better, just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100% and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
Hi, it's the Herd. Spring is here. Now it's the time to celebrate. Birthdays, anniversaries, Easter, with a bright, beautiful seasonal bouquet from 1-800-Flowers.com. Best quality, best value, trust 1-800-Flowers.com. And when it comes to spring flowers, everybody thinks of tulip. But 1-800-Flowers.com has an abundant bouquet of tulips perfect for this time of the year. It's called the Spring Tulip Bouquet. Full, vibrant bouquet of 30 multicolored tulips. I already have it at home. Gorgeous. Limited time. 1-800-Flowers.com's got a very special offer. Order 30 tulips, and it'll come with a free box of chocolates. That's over $25 off the regular price. Order it now. 1-800-Flowers.com, from your desktop or your mobile device. Click on the radio mic upper right side, and enter Colin. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Colin. Or call 1-800-Flowers and mention my first name. Spring, hallelujah, is finally here.
Come on!
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
A universal song. You're going to break out in song, aren't you? Oh, Steve Perry.
Almost.
Don't be afraid.
Ain't going to happen.
Steve Perry, you're safe. You're fine.
So much better with all my faculties that I don't have to, karaoke.
Honestly, I listen to this song, and my kids are like going, what are you doing listening to our music? You kidding me? Because yeah. I think they thought that Glee was the first time that song was ever on. Help me, please.
Help me, Rhonda. It's our Midtown Mart Cooler Question of the Day. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday who you were predicting to win the NBA playoffs in Oklahoma City and Miami. Dead heat, 36-ish%. Spurs, 18%. Only 9% voted for the Pacers. Which happens first? L.A. gets an NFL team, college athletes gets paid, or Nebraska football wins a conference championship? Which happens first, Randy Bush?
Wow, that's a good one. It's not going to be the unionization and paid players. That's going to be the last thing that happens. I think probably Nebraska will win a conference title.
Yeah, if Jacksonville hasn't picked up and moved to L.A.
by now,
then I'm going to go with you there. I really think so, because I agree. College athletes get paid long time away, and maybe you can joke Nebraska football conference a long time away. But I'm going to go with Nebraska football winning a conference championship first, L.A. NFL team second, college athletes get paid third.
Well, and you know what? For Nebraska football, it could. I'm not saying it will, but it could happen as early as this year. I mean, it could. Yeah, they get hot.
If we would just pay our players and nobody else, that would help that out, too.
I think they do that around the country. Some southern states, I think, actually have that in.
What?
Programs which shall not be named.
Yes, Marcus Dupree. They make good 30 for 30s, SMU.
Yes, they do.
You can vote on our Midtown Market.
And speaking of 30 for 30, I'm really glad they did one on the Detroit Pistons. It gives me the opportunity to hate them again. I really appreciate that.
I was trying to remember because I think I liked Detroit there. That was just when I was college age. And I didn't like the Lakers. And I believe that was kind of the team. That was just when the Bulls, obviously, because then when the Bad Boys didn't get to be the Bad Boys anymore, that's when they walked out.
When they faded, that's when the Bulls came up. Yeah,
Bulls beat them. They walked off the court without shaking their hands, if people remember that. And that was the transit.
And I was a Celtics fan, and comments by Isaiah Thomas about Larry Bird and all that stuff, that they did not endear me to them as well. My wife, by the way, who is more of a sports fan than she likes to let on, we had discussions because she kind of liked the Pistons, and that was some tension early on in the relationship before we were married and such.
Did you ever, put on a Lambeer?
Oh dear God, no, no,
when
no,
you were
no,
on
no.
say vacation?
No, I did not. No. And by the way, Bill Lambeer is an interesting guy. Did you know Bill Lambeer, for all of his workman ethic and all that stuff, parents multimillionaires. He grew up in a very affluent lifestyle.
Well,
yeah. And you wouldn't get that because you would think he was really mad at the world the way he played.
This
and
that's not how he comes across. Got weird, by the way.
Yeah,
it's hard to believe, but
yeah, there was a time.
Got weird.
There was a time.
There you go. The NHL playoffs begin tonight. If it has a bracket, we fill it out. So let's get through that real quickly here. Off air, Jeffrey, I'm going to need you, because that was what I was going to ask Vecchione and forgot to, who he's got in the Stanley Cup. But I think Schaffrin had Union, so we need to get his pick. We need to get the Storm's picks for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Randall, there's always a few more, it seems like, and I don't know if this is true, but it seems like more upsets can happen in hockey playoffs than any other sport.
It seems like, and it wasn't true last year, I don't think, but it was true the year before, there's at least one of the number one seeds gets beaten the first round by the eighth seed. And that's happened one time in the history of the NBA. It's like every other year in the NHL.
And I think, I really think, because watching a lot of this yesterday, I think the Boston Bruins have to run out of gas at some point, and Detroit is a storied franchise, and that's what you've got in the first round of the East. And I didn't take Detroit, but if there was going to be any major upset, that would be it. Boston won it last year. They are they've got to be emotionally drained after all of this, and they have the best record in the NHL. But I don't have Boston going to the finals. On the East, I got Boston beating Montreal and Pittsburgh beating New York to get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I'm almost the same. I have Boston and the Habs in the semis and the Penguins.
The what? Boston and the who?
The Canadiens.
What is that? You said Habs. What is that?
It's a nickname for the Canadiens.
Okay. All right. Didn't know that.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. And then the bottom half you got?
I got an all Pennsylvania semifinal. Pens and Flyers.
Okay. Who you got coming out of the East then?
I have the Canadiens, which is a bit of a long shot, but. Yeah,
I like
the Canadiens.
I like it because I think Boston goes early.
Well, there's that great rivalry between Boston and the Canadiens, and sometime we've got to have a Canadian team in the NHL Finals. Got to have them in the Stanley Cup Finals. So I'm going this year.
I just about took Montreal all the way, but I didn't. I took Pittsburgh to beat Boston. In the West, Anaheim looks like they must be really, really good. I take the Kings to upset the Sharks, and I take Chicago to upset the Blues. So I've got Anaheim beating the Kings and Colorado beating Chicago to get to the Western Conference
Final. I need to change mine because that's exactly what I have.
No, that's fine.
That's
fine.
It's too late, I guess.
And
stuck with it now.
I knew when I made my pick that it was going to take your Thunder because you're such a damn homer.
I know
you're taking the Avalanche. And I actually have Colorado over Pittsburgh in the Stanley Cup Final.
I like the Avs. I think arguably have the best goaltender in the NHL right now, and they're hot at goal, and that's kind of important at this stage of the game. So I actually have the Avalanche hoisting the Stanley Cup a year after they missed the playoffs. Well, actually, several years after they missed the playoffs. It's been a while.
Oh,
have I? What?
No, it's just
Predictable?
No. Just stuff I can make fun of you off the air for. Let's go to the Doug and Daddy Dent Popper inbox.
Bring it on. I don't care.
I haven't even read the whole email here, but this comes from one of our frequent emailers and one of our favorite emailers, John and Carney. Says, Doug, while I agree with you on most things about football, except that you like the Cowboys and I like the Raiders, I could not agree with you on the quarterback situation at Nebraska. Armstrong is by far a better quarterback than Riker Fife. I always look at what you have to say with great respect, but the coaches at Nebraska are coaches at that level and are not radio guys who do have a high side of input. I'm not putting you down because of respect I have for you and your job, but please don't start a quarterback controversy so early. Let it play itself out. The best player will end up leading one of the greatest programs in college football this fall. John, I agree with you from the whole coaching thing. What I will say about that is I believe, and I had this discussion with some coaches last night, Randy, because I'm really, I don't get too deep. You know, when people want to know, well, what do you think of the spring game? I don't sit there and watch what the left guard does. I don't look at the defensive tackle six, and some of the sports guys in Nebraska with four-hour radio shows to fill do that. I try to look at the general body, keep it simple, and again, I'll say it here. I will toot my own horn, which I never have a problem doing on this show, so I'll take that joke right away from you.
Dang it.
I've been pretty darn dead on with Nebraska football ever since this show has begun. As far as record, where they're going to be, how confident I am in this football team. I think Nebraska's coaches have been backed into a corner at the quarterback position with Tommy Armstrong. And please don't think that I don't like Tommy Armstrong, because I think he's a good kid, and he's already kind of shown that can put the boys on his shoulders, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not trying to homer Riker Fife, because I could do the same with Johnny Stanton or Brock. But I think the Bubba Starling thing, the Zach Darlington getting the concussion, the Taylor Martinez. I mean, let's face it, if Taylor Martinez didn't get hurt last year, who is your quarterback this year? Nebraska fans would be pulling for Johnny Stanton because Tommy wouldn't have had any experience. That's what I'm saying here. I think they have really put themselves in a spot here, Randy, where if they feel that they have to start Tommy Armstrong this year, then what happens next year? Darlington and Stanton can't both stay on this football team. If Tommy Armstrong is going to be the starter for the next 3 years, and if you start him this year and he does everything, you know, so-so, good enough, I mean, you can't. It's just the way life is. Nobody's
going to overtake
that guy.
And part of that is football is different than any other sport at the quarterback position. You only play one of them. If you've got two or three good offensive tackles, you alternate when they start, and then it just kind of works itself out because you'll see on the game film through the course of the game who is the better gamer, how to do that. With quarterbacks, for whatever reason, they always say if you have two quarterbacks, that means you have none. So you really feel like you have to have one starter that takes the vast majority. You get have somebody mop up at the end, but you have that one starter. So it is so important what they do in practice, and we don't really see that practice. And that is what's going to factor in for the coaches to decide that. I'll say a couple things kind of in the direction that you're heading. When you sign somebody and you give them the scholarship right away and you do that, then you kind of feel like you have to give them more of an opportunity than somebody that's a walk-on like a Riker Fife. Because, again, if you don't, then it almost feels like people are going to question whether or not you believe in your own decisions and, you know, all that other stuff. So I do think when you bring in somebody, and we could talk about place kickers too. Biondi was always like, oh, we don't need to get anybody because we have him. Well, he hasn't panned out as a kicker, and Spencer Lindsay from Kearney High might end up being the kicker next year. I mean, you know, you want to talk about a rivalry, something like that could be happening as well. So I do think coaches do kind of get painted into a corner, which is what you're saying, because of the past and a different situation instead of just being able to wipe the slate clean. Because you can't. You can't just wipe the slate clean and really make it a true open camp. It's very difficult for coaches to do that.
Yeah, and you want to go into fall camp ready to roll at that position, and I think Nebraska will be in. Again, that's the problem. Now we got 5 months to
debate this. I know that this could turn into an arguing point for a whole week, not just one show, but a whole week.
Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk with Nebraska defensive end Jack Ganglish out of Wood River. He has not trotted out onto the field for an official game yet. That will change this fall. We'll also talk with Northwestern baseball coach Paul Stevens as Northwestern rolls in to take on the Huskers this Easter weekend. They're struggling a little bit, but we'll talk about that. They've got a bright future, it looks like, at Northwestern. We want to thank all the folks that joined us today. Nebraska quarterback Riker Fife, UNK football coach Daryl Morris, WNBA's Jordan Hooper, now with the Tulsa Shock, and of course to Mike Vecchione, former Tri-City Storm member and now a part of the National Hockey Champions from Union College.
And good times going on in Schenectady.
Schenectady, the parade's tomorrow. Randy Bushcutter, thanks for the time, man.
Hey, thanks, Doug.
Join us tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.